2018. Hasn't it gone quickly? 2017 and reaching out for Jesus. The main theme of this morning's message is stay focused, press forward, and finish well. Is that right? Stay focused, press forward, and finish well. And it's coming from Philippians. Everybody turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul.
Today's passage is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 868. Then once you have found it, if you'd please stand out of honor of God's Word. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Thank you. You may be seated.
Philippians chapter 3 here. It is amazing, our text. And I have it on the board here. And it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. And I wanted just to review a little bit about these things to realize what's going on here. That he hasn't arrived. That he hasn't got to the place where he's perfect or the place where he's a spiritual giant. He is still focused. He is still forwarding and he is still trying to finish well. And I'm so glad God doesn't give up on us, but we're still growing. We're still maturing. And it's exciting there. But these things, I want to go back to chapter 1 of Philippians. Just follow with me on the board here. It says, wherefore I pray, so his prayer life, I may make my request of all of you with joy. He never had enough joy. He never had enough prayer, but he was working on it. He was focusing. He was forward. He is finishing. And it says, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time I've heard it until now. They were witnessing. They were spreading the gospel. And I am certain that God, who began this good work in you, will continue his work. Until it is finished, finally finished, on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You realize he's coming, and that's their goals here. And then it says in verse 27, it says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. We're not citizens down here, huh? This is not the place. And it says, standing together in the book of Philippians, one of the great themes of Philippians was togetherness. There was some division. At one spot, Paul says, now there's two ladies here that are fussing. Get together with these two ladies, settle their differences, and let's have togetherness here. And so there was togetherness going on. There was division going on. There was jealousies going on and complaining and griping. And people not being considerate of one another. And that was the main theme, one of the main themes of Philippians, to straighten that out. He says, standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together, fighting the devil, fighting the evil instead of each other, for the faith, which is the good news. Chapter 3, verse 18 to 20, it's written up there for you. It says, enemies of the cross think only about this life here on earth. It's just they get caught up. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in this life. We have 17, we're looking to 18. And we get caught up in what we do every day and we forget. We're not citizens of this earth to do earthly stuff and everything for ourselves and make us look good. Is that right? We're citizens of heaven. And he says, they just look at this life. But we are citizens of heaven, which the Lord Jesus lives, where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for his return as our Savior. Are you eagerly waiting for his return? That's a big statement. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 3. It's up in front of you here. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress people. They were trying to impress people. Don't be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. This is where they were having all kinds of division. Don't look out only for your own interest, but the interest of others too. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Should it show that you're a Christian and how you live? It should show. And people at your workplace should see you're different. You really are a person that is selfless. You're trying to do right. You're trying to stay away from evil. You're different. And that was what it was. It says the results of their salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, respect of God, obedience of God. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Aren't you glad it's not yours? It's from Him. And He helps you. I love that happening. And then verse 14, it says, do everything without complaining. There was some complaining going on and arguing. To that, no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Amen? Hold firmly. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. One day we're going to stand before God, huh? And we're going to give an account of what we did to each other, to the world out there, and in our own lives to God. And He says, that's running the race. Chapter 4 of Philippians, last chapter. Verse 6, look at it. It says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Do you think they were worrying? Can we worry in our day? Yeah, He says, hey, I've not achieved all of these things. I'm working at all these things. He says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. How thankful are we? Then you will experience peace. Wow. Which exceeds anything that we understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned. Then the God of peace will be with you. And that's what we desired and had in 17, and we want to have it in 18. And then verse 4 is a very great verse. Always be full of joy. Be full of joy. I trust you work at that, because if you're not careful, can you be a negative person, complaining and griping all the time? Huh? Come on. And he says, be full of joy. And again I say, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate. There's another problem. They weren't considerate of one another. In all you do, remember, the Lord is coming soon. And that's all of the issues of chapter 3, where it says, I've not arrived at all these things. Chapter 3, I've not arrived at all these things. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. I'm working at all these things. Or that I have already reached perfection. Does God expect us to be holy? He does. And now, we're not going to reach perfection till we get to glory. But should you be gaining some victories, huh? And some joys as you grow in your Christian life? Yes, it says, now I'm not going to reach it till I get to glory, but there should be some holiness starting to happen, some victory starting to happen, some victory over sins. So he says, stay focused. It says, but I press on. I love that. I press on to possess, catch this, that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now think about that. That is powerfully phrased. That He saved me, and one day He's going to present me perfect in heaven. Is that right? And you're sitting there going, wow. And that's what He wants me to move forward to. And He says, I press towards that. God, help me. And in the book of Philippians, help me not to try to be not considerate and to be selfish and try to impress other people and think lowly of other people and not shine as lights and arguing and complaining. And He says, help me, that I eagerly wait for heaven, that I realize that, wow, the joy, the peace, the praying. Help me, Jesus, help me. morning. Focused. Stay focused. And then verse 13, focus on this one thing, this intentional focus, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And I studied that pretty deeply this week. And to think about what that means, and is it just forgetting that Paul, he just mentioned that he was a Pharisee and that he did all of these good works as a Pharisee and that he was a Benjamite and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was trained. You know what I'm saying? He could have said, I have all these. Most of the commentators say that he is talking very general. He is saying both of the things that I've achieved in my past, both the things that I've done physically. He says, also the failures of the past. I trust you've made right all the wrongs of your past. Huh? I think every person needs to do that and say, God, help me. And don't let past failures keep you from present victory. Don't let past sins. If you have a sin that's popping in your mind right now that you've not made right with God and man, you need to make right. Because forgiveness is wonderful. And he says, don't look back. Because the devil, is that right? The devil said, you're guilty. I am, but I'm forgiven. Get behind me, Satan. And that is so beautiful. I challenge every person, the past, if it was terrible, make certain it gets under the blood. Get forgiven, because it's wonderful to be forgiven, and you can be forgiven all. Amen? And you be forgiven. Get it forgiven. If something's popping in your mind right now, confess it, forsake it, make it right this week with God and man. Get it forgiven so that you can say, yes, I'm guilty when the devil knocks next time, but I'm forgiven. Get out of here. That is good stuff. Also, this is not just the bad that's in our past, but also the good. We did some great things this year, and we need to remember it. Thank God for it. But we got this year coming, huh? We got 18. And he says, I don't live in the past. I learn from the past. I make the past right. But I live, I press on. I press on. I press onward. And he says that forgetting those things of the past, I learn from them. I make them right. I rejoice in the good. But I'm moving forward. I'm living today and moving forward. What God's going to do this year. And he says, I'm pressing forward and getting all excited about that. And he says, focusing on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And that's where we're staying focused in 18, that we are pressing forward in 18, and we're going to finish well in 18. And that is so important to catch that we're in the race here at the bottom. The race isn't, you know, you've been running the race and you're still running the race. It's every day you get up, and it's just like the first day that you entered the race of the Christian walk. It's not a race that, well, I've been at it for 25 years, I've been at it for 30 years, or I've been at it for 5 years, and it's the same old race. No, it's a new race every day. And you just started the race. And that's what's so important, that, you know, I'm not looking back. I'm not comparing or competing or where I'm at. I'm moving forward today, the new race today, and to finish well. And it is wonderful to catch that and to let that just be a part. 2018, let's look at 2018. The first thing that's going to happen in 2018 is a baby. And that's pretty cool. This baby girl already has a name and a middle name. That's pretty cool. Pray for him. Pray for him. That's exciting, but scary. Is that right? And so pray for them. And that's pretty cool. Second thing we're going to do is we have a Word of Life fast car outreach. These have been great. But each of us need to start praying for this. All these are in your bulletin. If you've got a bulletin, turn on the inside cover. All of these things of 17 and 18 are printed right there. We wanted you to praise the Lord for 17, but get excited about 18 coming. And to catch this children's outreach of the fast car rally, and that's pretty cool. Pastor Kyle's going to come up about the Bible Institute we're launching. He's launching.
So for several months now, several guys in our church and Pastor and I have been planning a Bible Institute that we're starting here on March 4th, Grace Bible Institute. And I want to point you to a passage in Philippians that I'm going to be preaching on February 4th, where we'll be giving our vision and our aim for Grace Bible Institute. And you're already there. It's in chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and in all discernment, so that you approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. If you understand that verse, as I say, we're preaching on it here in a month, but if you understand that verse, what Paul is doing is he's praying not that we would grow more loving. That's not what he's saying. We should grow more loving. But what he's praying is that we would grow to love knowledge, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of who? You read the rest of the book of Philippians and you find out that I count all things as loss except for this. Knowing Jesus Christ. So our aim at Grace Bible Church is one, to advance in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Two, to integrate that knowledge into our lives. And three, to minister that knowledge to one another and to those who don't have Christ. And so we'll have three classes going at once. Right now our instructors are myself, Brother Phil Barron, and Brother Matt Smith. Our first three classes that will be offered, registration will start in February. I will be teaching a doctrines class, which I'm very excited about. Brother Phil will be teaching a Bible survey, and Matt Smith will be teaching the book of Ephesians. Classes will be $20. That's just basically to help covering costs with printing and things like that. If that's an issue for you, just please let us know. We'd love to talk to you about that. But what we want to do is we want to cultivate an atmosphere where we're constantly thirsty for God's Word. We're constantly desiring to know Jesus Christ better. And this will not be challenging. It won't be like taking college courses. It just will be enriching and helping us grow in our knowledge specifically of Scripture. And how we study Scripture and how we read Scripture and how we think about the doctrines that God has given us in His Word. And so we're so thrilled to be doing this, to be starting this. I am so excited to be a part of it, to be teaching it. The classes will differ, so you will have three different classes each semester. Semesters will be 8 weeks, so you'll have a wide variety of things you can choose from and take. The classes will take place at 5 o'clock right before our evening service on Sunday evening. So we want to make it convenient for you and at a time that we hope you can, that you can make it. We also have something else coming up that we are excited about and that Pastor has asked me to introduce, and that is our Simplify Family Conference that will take place in March. March 23rd to the 25th, we have several speakers coming. Why do we call it Simplify? How many of you feel like you overcomplicate your life sometimes? I do. When we get back to the basics of what Scripture is telling us and how we do family and how we do marriage and how we do parenting, which my wife and I are about to begin, it's actually fairly simple. And so we're going to get back to those basics together, and it will start on Friday evening. We'll have a session. One of my mentors and camp speaker that I worked with, Brother Rand Hummel, will be our keynote speaker. Another one of my mentors will be coming. His name is Bob Brenneman. He's a pastor in Indianapolis. He'll be one of our speakers as well. And then Julia, his dad will be doing some sessions on how to balance work and family. And he's a businessman, and so it'll be helpful to get his perspective. He'll also be helping us think through biblical view of finances. Sessions will be offered, general and main sessions. It's just $20 a family, which we feel is very affordable. That's just to help. But as we think about the family, this is just to get us pointed back on a discipleship-oriented home, a gospel-oriented family where we think about Jesus Christ and how he dictates everything that we do as a family, as marriage, as parents, as kids, and as teenagers. And so this will be a fun time. We were also having on that Saturday, we'll have a massive family fun day. It'll be similar to a church picnic. And so we just really look forward to the opportunities that will be available to us to grow together as families, as parents, as kids, as husbands and wives, but also to be together as a church family. And as I say, just get back to the basics of a simple, gospel-oriented, discipleship-oriented home, because that's the kind of family that God intended.
We want you to take ownership of these things and get behind them and be a part of them. The funds for doing the things do not pay for them. We've just found if you don't put any money into something, you don't take ownership in it. And the Bible Institute and the family event, get that on your calendar. Start praying about it. Our men working on this, I'm excited about this, but this moves our church to a different level. I hope you catch that. Today, Bible institutes are moving down, okay? Bible knowledge in most churches is moving in which direction? Downward. And we must turn that around. We want the Bible knowledge not just to be memorization of stuff and facts. We want it to come alive and go upward. And then the family. Do you know, we cannot have a local church without a strong family. We cannot. And so we must have a great family, and I'm excited about this very, very much. And that is so, so good. Also, the area of camp. We are going to camp with our teens and our kids going the same week, and it's in June. So everybody needs to note that. It's been moved up a little bit so we could all go at the same time. So plan on going to camp, our kids and our teens. Note those dates, June 18 to 23. Very, very important to make that happen. And then we have an IFCA convention. We are part of the IFCA Churches of America, Independent Fundamental Churches of America. It's a very loose organization. It's not much of a, it's not a, an any type of very close where you have to pay dues and they tell you all what to do. We only agree on a doctrinal statement. And it's very good bunch of guys. I know most of them. They're going to be in South Bend this year, the conference, the international conference, and we would like to take advantage of that, and that's in June 28 to 29, and that's a real privilege. Also, we are having VBS to do all of these things. We've moved it around a little bit. VBS is going to be July 8 to 12, and it's our Arctic Blast. We did this on a missions trip, and it's a week of revival. So note those different dates down. We want you to start planning for these dates so that you can be here these dates and this. The biggest event is we're bringing our magician back with us for almost 2 weeks this time. He was with us before in 16 or in 14 and 16, and now here in 18. We ministered to 5,000 students in the schools there, put the next church up part. We ministered in 16 to 2,200 unchurched families. Amen. Over a five-day session period, we had 2,200, and in 14. We had the one service where we had 850 in here, and that was a wild service with 850 people. The kids were sitting everywhere. So we determined to spread it out a little bit and only have 400 or 500 at each service. So we've been working at that. But this year, we're bringing him in at 18, and we're bringing him in for an almost two-week period. We're going to be in 14 schools, and we're going to minister to 7,000 people. Amen. And one person looked at this and says, man, that's evangelism. It is the greatest evangelism outreach I know of. And we get to be a part of it. And that week, all we get to do is lead kids and families to Jesus. It is wonderful. Y'all got to free up that week, because every night we have it. Y'all probably won't be in here because the people are in here. Y'all will be outside in the gym praying. And then when he gives his invitation at the end of the service, we get to talk to all kinds of people about Jesus. Amen? And it is a tremendous, tremendous time. I've never seen anything like it. And we're just all pumped about it. September 30 to October 10, our brother evangelist David Korn's coming. If you want to know more about David, whip on the internet and you can catch all about him, a graduate from a school in Pensacola, and a pretty neat preacher, powerful preacher, and we're excited to have him there. And then lastly, Pastor Kyle's going to be preaching 15 Sunday mornings, and we love Pastor Kyle and his preaching, and pray. In January, put January up. This is January. I'm preaching in January, both Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I'm preaching on the armor of God. As I told you before, we were at a public school last year, and they had a piece of armor. I have it. If you want to go see it, it's in the room over here. It is about 8 foot tall. It's about 7 foot tall. It's going to be on the stage next Sunday morning, and it's just a whole suit of armor. It's pretty cool. And we are going to be talking about that. This is our plan for preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. I want you here on Sunday night. I want you here on Sunday. I'm going to put a lot of time into Sunday night. Sunday morning, I'm starting out next Sunday morning on Be Strong in the Lord. That is the basis of the armor of God. And then I'm going to do the pieces through the evening. Truth on Sunday night. And then Sunday morning, the 14th, I'm on the fight. Folks, we are at war. We are at war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is how we win. But we got to know how to fight. We're at a war with spiritual wickedness. In the evening, I'm talking about the armor of righteousness and peace. And then on Sunday the 21st, I'm talking about victory. How do we win? How do we win? And then the evening, I'm on faith. And then the greatest teaching of the whole thing is on the last Sunday in January on the power of prayer. Prayer. And this is how we win. This is how to, we are at war, and keep your armor on and win. And that's the book, that's the whole month of January. But we want you here Sunday morning, Sunday school. Do we have a great Sunday school? We have a great Sunday school. If you're not used to coming to Sunday school, we have Sunday school classes for every age level. And we have about 5 adult Sunday school classes, and each of those teachers put a lot of time into it, and the fellowship time of getting together. If you've missing Sunday school, you're missing a great part of our church. And then Sunday evening is more singing, and we're studying the scriptures here. I think it's great. And I know it's hard all the time, but I think you should put, your family will know whether church was first and God was first in your family. That's all I'm going to tell you. And God's first. I'm going to put a lot into Sunday night. Okay? And then Wednesday night. Wednesday nights are great around here. If you're not coming, our youth and our children, our Olympians and all of the children's programs and everything, the adult programs, we have a great program. And I just challenge you to realize in 18, church is so important. And we're going to reach out for Christ. Reaching for Jesus in 18. Put the next slide up. Reaching for Jesus in 18. Stay focused. Press forward. Is that right? Finish well. Reaching for Jesus in 2018, and we realize that what Pastor Kyle said, that I may know him, is that right? And the power of his resurrection. That's 2018. I'm excited about 2018. God's going to be with us.